I'm Jeff Phelps. That's Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092 is the number to join us. What will happen in the Cavs-Indiana Pacers series? Prediction?
Yeah.
I'll take the Cavs in six or seven. I don't like to just pick one. The Cavs will get a real challenge in this series. They could lose this series. Indiana is a good enough team to knock the Cavaliers out of the playoffs. I don't think they will.
I got to be honest with you. I almost want to say Cavs in five, but I'm going to say Cavs in six.
Okay.
But the opportunity will be there for them, I think, to win this thing in five. If they continue playing, like, the question
you
is...
You know, Indiana's pretty good.
I know they're pretty good, but you know what? I'm tired of soft-selling the Cavaliers and saying they're not very... You know, it's not like... I know you have to respect your opponent, but that doesn't mean you have to kiss your opponent's you-know-what. And well,
picking them to win the series isn't kissing the opponent's butt.
Yeah, I don't. I think the Cavs win the series. I think the Cavs are.
I think if they
continue to play the type of basketball they can, I still find it interesting that, you know, if you take Darius Garland out, that the team sometimes has better numbers. I mean, but I'm not taking Darius Garland out.
Well,
if
you
he can
take
play.
Donovan Mitchell out. Weren't they undefeated in the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, so it's just
until they quit
odd.
Playing guys.
It's odd that's the kind of series, so I don't know if this is going to look like it traditionally does, but I know as long as the Cavaliers move the basketball and it doesn't stick and they can find the open shot and they play to their potential, I don't see them losing this series, and I don't know how long. Is it Cavs versus Cavs here, or is it Cavs versus Pacers? You know what I'm saying?
It's Cavs versus Pacers. Pacers are a better team than you're giving them credit for being, Andy.
It's not. I never said I wasn't giving. I'm giving the Cavaliers credit.
Well, that,
I'm not discounting
so
what Indiana is.
So am I. I think the Cavs win the series. But I think Indiana's pretty good. The Indiana Pacers took care of the Milwaukee Bucks 4-1. Milwaukee, boy, I thought they would be better in this series. And when Dame Lillard went out, that didn't help them any. And then last night, you had a 20-point lead. You lose it. You lose in overtime. It was like an 8-0 run in the final minute of the game by Indiana to force overtime. And then afterwards, there's pushing and shoving. And
yeah.
I don't know what was going on with Giannis and Benedict. And it was strange. And then he's yelling.
Somebody's dad was getting involved last night, too. I didn't see that part.
Tyrese Halliburton's dad. They were having a conversation. I don't know. And Giannis said he was disrespectful or whatever. That doesn't matter. What does matter is this. Indiana comes in as a team that – you have to pay attention to. You're the number 4 seed coming in. These teams met 4 times in the regular season. Can you take, first of all, can you take anything from regular season matchups when you get to the playoffs? I'll say very little.
Okay.
Can you take anything from the 4 games these guys played in the regular season? I'll say absolutely not.
Especially the 2 at the end.
Well,
those
didn't matter for anything. Here's why. First game was January 12th. And the Cavaliers lost in Cleveland. And the Pacers came in and won by 15 points. If there's anything, that's the most telling game of this entire operation here, is the Cavs lost at home by 15 to Indiana on January 12th. Aaron Nesmith didn't play in that game for Indiana. He's one of their starters. And it was before the DeAndre Hunter trade. So the Cavs are a different team.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only game I think you can even remotely take anything from. They played 2 days later in Indianapolis. And Indy lost that game. Cavaliers won at 127-117. Why don't I think you take a whole lot out of that game? Tyrese Halliburton and Aaron Nesmith did not play in that game for Indiana.
Okay.
So arguably their best player, Tyrese Halliburton, I think he is their best player, didn't play in that game. Cavaliers did play all their guys. But again, it was before the Hunter trade. And then the last 2 games, Andy, were
end
late
season.
This season. Yeah, April 10th, April 13th. Cavs lost both, but no Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Max Strus in the first game. Pacers played their starters in that game and won by only 2. And then on April 13th, last game, key guys didn't play for both teams. So what might be more telling is this. And folks, I think the Cavs win this series. Andy thinks they win this series. What do you think? 216-474-0092. How do they win it? I'll tell you how they're going to be tested in this series.
Okay.
the Cavs were known for what all season long? Up and down offense and a lot of points and good shooting, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at like 250-point games here between the two teams, right? I mean, that I expect. I expect, like, I don't know, first one to 115, right?
You've got to have – see, the thing of it is, what the Cavaliers did in the regular season that stood out, Indiana also can do. Point-wise, during the regular season, Cavaliers number one in the NBA, 121.9. So the Cavs can put up an awful lot of points. Can they not?
No, they can.
Indiana was seventh in scoring at 117.4. So Indiana can score with the Cavaliers. Field goal percentage, Cavaliers were really good in the regular season. They were second at 49.1. So they were tough to defend. They shot it well. Cavs were second. Indiana was third, 48.8%. on field goal percentage. Cavaliers really good on three-point percentage, 38.8, second in the NBA. Indiana, only 2 percentage points behind at 36.8. They were the ninth best three-point shooting team in the NBA. So all the offensive stats that the Cavaliers dominated in the regular season, Cavs still have the edge on Indiana, but the Pacers are kind of right there. That's one of the key reasons I think this is going to be a tough, tough series for the Cavaliers. Let's flip it and go defense, okay?
Okay.
Cavs were 12th in points allowed, 112.4. Indiana in the neighborhood, 17th at 115.1. So the style of offense...
Again, we're using regular season numbers here, right?
Right. Okay. Well, which is a better indication.
Yeah.
Cavs,
well, the Cavs playoff numbers
were, you know, bloody, I mean, they're ridiculous because they played Miami and Miami phoned it in. The defensive numbers would probably be better if these teams played a different style of offense, but because they both have a lot of possessions, a lot of points, the other team's also going to get a lot of possessions and a lot of points. So the Cavs were 12th, Indiana was 17th in the same neighborhood. Here's one thing that's a little bit of a difference that I makes me wonder, defensive field goal percentage, the rankings are significantly different. Cavs were the third toughest defense to score against at 45.4%. Indiana was the 23rd. So that sounds like a huge disparity, except the percentages aren't really that far, 45.4 and 47.4. So most teams had the same defensive field goal percentage. And when it came to three-point percentages, this might be interesting. Cavs were 13th at 35.9, Indiana a little bit better at 35.5. In other words, the Cavs shoot a lot of threes. Indiana was pretty decent at defending the three, as were the Cavaliers. So I look at the stats of this, and what do I take out of it, Andy? I take that they're fairly even. Cavs were better, but the Indiana Pacers can compete with the Cavaliers when it comes to all of these stats. And that, to me, then takes it back to, all right, you got to play and you got to see what happens. How are the matchups?
Let me give you one spot, defensive rebounds, where the Cavs were fifth in the league at 34.2. That, because you're right, they're really, I mean,
a lot of things.
And
are
to be
really
honest, I mean,
yeah.
Indiana's like 22nd in the league, but they're 32.7. So, you know, I look at some of these things and the Cavs just, I don't. They're tied, or just the Cavs are slightly better than Indiana.
So to me, Andy, that takes so many.
So where does momentum come into this?
Well,
does that matter?
I would think the team with the best momentum here is Indiana.
Ugh.
And the reason I say that is this. Cavs didn't get tested in the final two games. I mean, Miami just phoned it in. Let's be honest about that. Cavs were great. They killed them, and they stomped on a team that was phoning it in. But Indiana just came back from 20 points down to win in overtime. That's huge. So I'm not going to give an edge to Indiana in momentum, but I'm certainly not giving one to the Cavaliers. What you're going to have here is a contested series, and that's okay. I mean, that's what the playoffs are all about. These are the two teams that we're supposed to meet, the number one seed against the number four seed. And then you'll probably have two against three, Boston against New York. But Detroit won last night at Madison Square Garden. Well, one thing, and you tell me, is this anything? Again, as is the case with most every opponent, they have an edge in the backcourt. when it comes to what they do size-wise. Andrew Nembhard is one of the starting guards for Indiana. He's 6'4", so he's taller than either Donovan or Darius, and he's a very nice player. He's not as good as Darius or Donovan, but he does pose a little bit of a size issue there. And you have Tyrese Halliburton, who is 6'5".
Right.
So their two starting guards are 6'4 and 6'5", and the Cavs are 6'1 and maybe 6'2". Anything? Maybe.
No, not when it comes to guards. It doesn't.
Well, but that's the point, is that, okay, they're going to have to guard Tyrese Halliburton. Which one of those guys is going to guard Tyrese? That'll be a challenge. I think Donovan might be the guy, and Donovan's a pretty good defender. So there's that. Does Nembhard become a factor in this series because he's got a nice size advantage on a guy who's not a great defender in Darius Garland? Maybe. I don't know. Nesmith, 6'6 on the wing. Cavs have DeAndre Hunter, who they play on the wing, and DeAndre is a fine defensive player. We'll see if that matchup takes the court a lot. Nesmith and Nembhard are not guys who usually scare you offensively, but I think they were pretty good in the postseason. Nembhard averaged almost 15 points a game against Milwaukee. And then you have Miles Turner. He's terrific inside. I like him a lot. And I love Pascal Siakam, who's out there on the wing. But Mobley against Siakam is a matchup, if that's the way it goes, and I would think it would, that favors the Cavaliers to me. If there's a guy who can slow down Pascal Siakam, I think it's Evan Mobley.
We're talking about game 2, 3, 4 Mobley, right? Not game 1 Mobley, is what you're saying? Compared to Miami, you know
I'm just talking Evan Mobley.
Okay,
I think Evan can do the job there. I do. We'll see, but Indiana can do a lot of the things the Cavaliers showed that they did well in the regular season that led to the Cavaliers' great season. Indiana's right there with them, and I think Indiana has a size advantage in the backcourt, which may become a factor in this series. Again, I think the Cavaliers win the series. Do you? 216-474-0092. And why? Why do I think they will? I'll tell you why. Andy will give you his thoughts as to why he thinks the Cavaliers win this series. Coming up next on Baskin and Phelps, Robert Mays from the Athletic Football Show will join us at 11:20.
So, Jeff, you were talking about the Cavs before, and I'm sitting here just like, I feel extremely confident in the Cavaliers. Like, I'm the kind of guy that says, rip your rearview mirror off. It doesn't matter. Do what you need to do, and then everything else will come into play.
What are you looking back at anyway?
Looking back at the regular season, looking back at what you've been able to do so far, and, you know, you can't live in the past. You got to move forward. And so I just wonder, and I don't really have any negative thoughts about the Cavaliers going into this. I'm not thinking, how can they get beat? But then you started talking, and all of a sudden the negative little cells in my brain start floating around, and I'm like, how disappointed would Cavalier fans be if they get knocked out in this round? Does it eliminate the entire season?
I would think that Cav fans think that this is just something they have to go through to get to Boston.
Yeah.
I truly think Cav fans have felt that all season long, that it's going to be Cavs-Boston, and the winner goes to the NBA Finals.
Right.
You better not sleep on the Indiana Pacers.
This would be,
and the Celtics better not sleep on the Knicks if the Knicks get past Detroit.
I'm trying to think the last time we felt this kind of disappointment would probably be if for some reason they would get knocked out, would it be the same as when Orlando knocked the Cavs out with LeBron?
Yeah.
It'd be about the same, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah.
Although that was in the Eastern Conference Finals.
With Dwight Howard and that whole crew. And Stan Van Gundy as coach.
Yeah.
How do the Cavs win this series? I think it's
pretty... If they get knocked out, does it eliminate the whole season? Like, if they walk into this and they don't win, what does that say about everything?
Well, it says that it's the NBA and it's competitive, which people don't want to believe and sometimes don't understand. Now, Indiana's a good team. Rick Carlisle's a good coach. Indiana presents its own set of problems for an opponent. And the set of problems that it poses for the Cavaliers is they have four starters between 6'4 and about 6', I think Siakam 6'7, who get up and down the floor, are really athletic. That's the problem that they pose. How do the Cavs win the series? I think two ways. Donovan and Darius do what they do. Do not dominate the ball. Do what they did in the regular season, which is share the ball. Because the Cavaliers have a size advantage here.
Mm-hmm.
They have Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. Indiana has Miles Turner. I think Evan Mobley could be huge in this series. Who's going to be guarding him? Miles Turner? Okay, well then there's Jared Allen. You can get Jared at the rim and get him some easy baskets.
Okay.
I think the Cavs have a size advantage here inside against Indiana that if they choose to, they can exploit. And if they don't choose to exploit it, A, I'd be surprised. And B, that means that Darius and Donovan better be really good. Really good. And better be really effective against a bigger backcourt. And they've been effective against bigger backcourts all season long. But, you know, for whatever it's worth, the one game where they all played, it was the first game against Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cavs lost that game at home. That doesn't mean anything. Not really.
No.
But it's the only game of the four games in the regular season that I think you can look at and maybe draw any conclusions from. Maybe draw any conclusions from.
I think you're right. You know, when you talk about what Evan Mobley is going to be able to do in this. And
I think he could be huge, Andy.
Yeah, and I think kind of goes... But the other part of it, too, is Halliburton against Mitchell or Garland. I don't think there's any... If they can guard him defensively, then I think they should be able to do what they do offensively. I get nervous when guys start running down the floor and they just start heaving shots. That's the Cavalier team I don't like. I don't like watching that team. I don't like the team that feels like they've got to shoot the ball in the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. That drives me crazy. I really think the Cavs' biggest enemy in this thing, and I know you're giving Indiana credit, and I'm giving them credit too. They're a damn good team, and they you want to talk about fighting till the end. They fight till the end. They're a great fourth quarter team, as we saw again yesterday. I just feel in some ways it's Cavs versus Cavs, because if the Cavs execute to the best of their ability, I don't think there's any question they win this series. And I think Cavalier fans are looking at this, going back to that original conversation, mm-hmm. I think Cavalier fans are looking at this series and go, well, are they going to win in five? Are they going to win in six? Could this thing go seven? Like, that's how I think Cavalier fans are viewing this, and they're not saying, we could lose in six or we could lose in seven. I think Cavalier fans are looking at this series right now and saying, five, six, or seven. That's all they're asking themselves.
Well, but seven's a real series, Andy.
Well, I agree.
Yeah. Bill's in Parma. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, you guys. Great discussion. I always enjoy basketball. I see the Cavaliers as having two teams. As we saw the other night with Miami, with Ty Jerome playing, who's 6'5", and Mitchell's 6'1", those matchups, that is a championship playoff team caliber size-wise. To go out there with Garland with 2 6'1" guards, that just doesn't work. The other thing that we saw the other night was the level of defensive play. Now, one could say that Miami was without some players and stuff.
Without motivation for whatever reason, Bill.
For whatever reason. But nonetheless, the intensity throughout the game was significant. And also, one other thing was, Jerome, out of nowhere one game, had 11 assists. We never see a player, a guard, have 11 assists. So, but there's one statistic that makes the biggest difference in making this decision, who starts and who doesn't start. Because my own bias in the playoffs is Jerome starts. Is Garland makes $40 million a year, and Jerome makes $2.5 million. And you just, the team cannot set a $40 million guy on the bench. They'll have trouble trading him, all this kind of stuff. And their hands are tied to play, start 2 6'1" guards. And I'm sorry to see that.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much. Thanks. And clearly, during the regular season, those guys played well together. And if you've listened to our show for any great length of time, or even barely at all, you know that my sentiments about the small backcourt started the moment they made the trade for Donovan. Bill's been in agreement the whole time, too. It can be a challenge and doesn't mean you can't be great, doesn't mean you can't win big, because I think you can, but it can be a challenge, and they're going to get that with a 6'4 and a 6'5 guy in the backcourt for the Indiana Pacers. John is in Avon, home of the Eagles. What's up, John?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I went to the game last night, the Guardians game, and what a mess that was.
Oh.
Man. I took my family, and we showed up, and I was watching the weather all day.
Yeah.
And the National Weather Service completely, like, put away all the severe weather alerts for us. And we got several different start times. We watched that white tarp for hours.
How'd that look?
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, they came out. When they finally came out, we stayed till about 9 o'clock. The crew came out, and they came out and unrolled it. It took them, like, maybe 7 minutes to do it. And then not a minute later, they rolled it back out again. And it drizzled for, like 3 minutes. We never left our seats.
Well, somebody made a bad call on that one, John.
Yeah.
Sorry about that for you. We were talking Cavs. I punched up John by mistake.
Sorry. Did you ever notice we don't get weather delays at basketball? The only time it ever happens is when the ice starts to melt underneath and they put it on top of the rink.
We have a good buddy whose thought was this: give me a roof and a clock every day of the week.
Smartest advice ever.
Give me a roof and a clock. I'm really anxious to see this playoff series, because I do think it'll be a good one. And I think Indiana will give the Cavaliers a real challenge and could beat the Cavaliers, but I don't think they will. I think the Cavs get it done and get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Starts on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't feel the there's no buzz right now on this, maybe just because we found out who they're playing last night. The buzz will probably start next week. And if you know when
the buzz will start?
After they lose a game?
That's correct. Until then, Cavs fans, Cavs fans are going to be, hey, great. When's the Boston series start?
It's still all Boston, huh?
You're going to need a slap in the face for that to change.
Yeah, you are. I mean, you definitely have a brick wall up here with Indiana. I don't know. I think
Indiana's a really good team.
I do too. But the other problem is I'm not going to disrespect. I don't care if Miami laid down and said, go ahead and score a million times over. They still had to play, and they still had to play hard. And, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday.
They played really hard. What was it, 70-25?
Yeah, but they kept playing. And Kenny Atkinson kept.
Oh, the Cavs did. They were terrific.
Well, and they kept coaching, too. That was the other thing, too. Because normally.
Oh, don't blame the Cavs. The Cavs were great.
Well, what was it? Third quarter in the game four, when Kenny decided he wanted to have a video review of a block that was called a foul. I'm like, oh, my God, they're up 50. What's he doing? Yeah. Like, why is he doing this? And then I'm like, you know what? It's the NBA, and it's the playoffs. And you better play hard until they blow the final horn off. That's it. It doesn't matter if you win by one or win by 101.
Brian Baldinger was on the morning show, and Brian, former NFL player and does a lot of stuff and media guy, and he had some thoughts about what the Browns did in the draft that you might enjoy. At the very least, they'll either make you think, yes, absolutely, or shut up, Brian. They're coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.